Welcome to UBU Pod. Here you'll meet incredible people who tell us about their rich and interesting lives, of being visible, of working through challenges, and of coming out the other side. There's so much power in people's stories, and as a curious person, I love finding out how people tick. I'm your host, Megan Hamilton. I'm a speaking, visibility, and confidence coach, and I help you be you. I'm sorry about that lame attempt at a drum roll, but I'm going to keep it in because I'm humble. I would like to announce the winner of the paper copy of Angela Stever's Conquering the Divide, The Legend of Barzakhan. And the winner is Carrie Ann from Kith and Kin Weddings. I love it. Carrie Ann, I will be getting in touch with you to find out your address. And the winner of the audiobook is Amanda Marie from Amanda Marie Biz. I will be in touch with you on how to get your copy of the audiobook. Congratulations to the winners, and I'm sure I'll have another contest soon. Welcome to another edition of UBU Pod. Angela Stever was born and raised in Prince Edward County. She moved to Kingston in 2001, where she worked in radio for 20 years. Man.
Do you have to say it like that?
I do. Sorry. That was the note I was given. In November 2021, the mother of two left radio and decided to focus full-time on writing and stand-up comedy. She performs on comedy club stages across Ontario and recently published her debut novel, Conquering the Divide, The Legend of Barzakhan. Welcome, Angela Stever.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
I love talking to you, so I am thrilled that you are here. And, you know, the first time we met, the tables were turned. You were asking me questions, and I was doing some kind of, I forgot about this. So I came on Angela's radio show, and the deal was that you were featuring local artists, but we had to do like a classic rock cover.
Yes.
And I think I did, did I do Heart of Gold or did I do like Sugar Mountain? I don't know, one of the two. And it wasn't something that I normally did.
It's so funny because as you say this, I can already envision what was going on. I was fighting to support local talent and they were saying, make them play classic rock covers. So now that I'm out of there, I'll apologize for that, Megan. And I'd love to hear your original stuff all the time.
Oh, I love it. Yes, it was good. It was exciting. Like, I think that was my first radio appearance in Kingston. Yeah. So I was happy to be there. But now, I mean, that was also like, honestly, 2010. So here we are 12 years later.
It's so funny to, sorry to interrupt, but I just think about that going on the radio for the first time. Was that your first time on the radio when we
No, just in Kingston.
Yeah. It's when I think back to my radio experience going on in college, we had the like a trial station kind of thing that just ran in the halls of Loyalist College in Belleville. And I was so confident. I had done plays growing up. As a performer, I felt like, yeah. And I'd written this newscast and I'm like, I'm going in the booth and I am a, you know, broadcast journalist. And I stepped in there and I started reading the news and I sounded like I was crying. I was trying to catch my breath. And at the end of it, I was like, what just happened to me? Like, I was overwhelmed with anxiety for the first time in my life. And so I always find it interesting, like people's first time on the radio, did they feel comfortable or did they feel like me?
Well, it is so, it's, you don't know what's going to happen. The difference between just hanging out and then when you press record, it changes everything. I mean, I get that in the recording studio where I can play a guitar line, you know, like a difficult one. And I'm not by any stretch of the imagination, you know, an awesome guitar player. Like I'm fine. But there's certain parts that are hard. And so like I can get them. And then like the second somebody presses record, what's going
on? I've
been
trying to learn the drums for a few years and I do the same thing. I'll be like, I've learned this beat and I'm like, I'm going to record it and it's so cool. And then I hit record and I'm like, oh, okay, let's just keep practicing that one maybe.
And that, okay. Yes. And quite frankly, it, you know, this is why I have a job at all, is because people can do awesome in their bedrooms and then they show up for the thing that they're supposed to be doing and they're like, oh, what's happening to me? They get like foggy brain, which actually, you know, is something you're sort of familiar with because you just had COVID.
I did. And you know what? People keep asking me, what were your symptoms? And I had a runny nose, took a couple of extra naps, but the number one symptom I had was brain fog. I just felt like I couldn't spit out a sentence. And once I did, I had no idea what I just said. You know, so I'm just weaseling my way out of that right now. So hopefully the things I say today are like coherent.
It sounds to me like a mixture of being incredibly high and being pregnant.
I've been both of those things a few times. Oh my gosh.
Brain fog is no joke. And it is really, it's really weird. Like you just feel so messed up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So, but there have certainly been periods where you didn't have brain fog because you recently published your debut novel. I love it. How did that come
about?
I've always wanted to
write a book. And I've thought about it probably since my 20s. I've written it down on a piece of paper so many times. I'm going to write a book because I feel like,
oh, like when trying I write to bring it into the world. Down, I love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put it out there. Right.
You know, and I do so shit like that all the time. Right. Like I, and then I burn the paper in my office like every day.
Burn it, keep it, do whatever you need to do with it, right? I can look back in some of my journals and read that sentence over so many times because I've journaled. That's the first thing I do when I wake up. I put pen to the page. I get out whatever I need to from the day before, talk about the day ahead. Maybe it's just my thoughts on the world and what's going on right now. I write in cursive because I'm hoping one day someone will pick it up and they'll need someone to translate it because, you know, no one can read this cursive writing. But yeah, I've written that over and over. I will write a book. I will write a book. And at the beginning of 2019, I started as a radio play, actually. I was working in radio and I wanted to bring back the radio play. I was feeling creative. I wanted to just, you know, write some stuff. And I thought, wouldn't it be neat at the end of my show every day in the morning show to have just a 5-minute piece of a storyline that continues every day, kind of like a little soap opera, but it's on the radio.
Yeah.
And I pitched it and, I got the looks and it's a lot of work. And so, that kind of got passed over. And I just thought, this is a cool story. And so it originally started, the first title was Win or Die, and it was more of a game show. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because as I watched Squid Games, I was kind of like, I could see that people might have said, you're ripping this off if I had have gone in that direction, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. And then there was the working title I had during the entire thing until I actually sat down and the book was finished and I thought about it, was Step into the Light. And I had, I just kind of had this thing into my mind because the whole story is about this 16-year-old girl who thinks that it is her destiny to conquer the 7 steps. Now, the 7 steps are right at this wall that separates Light City from the darkness. And Light City is like the 1%, the elite. They live along the coastline. They dance. They party all day. And in the darkness, the wall is so high that it actually blocks out the sun for a few hours a day earlier. And so these people, it's called the darkness, but they don't have as much food. They don't have as much resources. Technology is not really allowed except for, old TVs, like throwback to maybe what would be available in the 70s. And so this young girl, she's a couple of days away from her 16th birthday. And she, the day after her 16th birthday, she's going to conquer these 7 steps and redeem her family and move them into Light City. But of course, you know, things are not all as they seem. Right. So when I was writing this, I brought so many things that I guess had happened in my life into the characters in the story, and people that I've met along the way and their traits. And, you know, I would say 95% of people who heard about my book said, "Oh, I can't wait to read it. It's about your life, right?" And I'm like, no. And why is everyone assuming that I'm writing a story about my life? And then I thought, well, I guess it's kind of interesting. But I guess the interesting things about it, I took and translated into the novel, which I didn't, you know, it's funny because I'll get asked, what is the genre, Angela? And when I was writing it, I just wrote a book that I wanted to read. I thought, I want to write something that's like, well written, but simple, not in the concept or anything, but in, you know, anyone can sit down and read it, mm-hmm. but there's still a very important message behind it. You know, a lot of times in my life, I've needed things to be like, I don't want to say dumbed down, but you know what I'm saying? Just like, give it to me on a street level. And so that's what I want to do.
Yeah. You know what? I am 100% with you on that. And, you know, just as like as a little sidebar, there's nothing worse than trying to flip through something that is beyond in terms of the language. Like there's so many different layers to talk about here, obviously, but especially with academic work, you just get to the point where you're like, this is ridiculous. This could be said in an entirely more digestible way. And not just for me, but like for other academics. Like we don't have to, you know, we don't have to dictionary our way through everything. Anyway, that's a sidetrack.
Yeah.
But no, it does make me frustrated.
Yeah. I had a college professor just reminded me of that, who would just do something a little bit different. Like he'd come into the learning hall and he would sit down with his guitar and he'd say, "Listen up," and he would sing a song to us, right? And we'd be listening and we'd be like, "Okay." And then he'd say, "We're gonna take a test, and the answers are all in the song that I just sang to you." So it was like, were you comprehending? Are you listening? You know, and it's like just so interesting, kind of the way he would think about getting people to learn in a different way. And this is a conversation I have with my oldest son all the time. He's a psychology graduate from Ottawa U, just turned 25 years old. And we talk a lot about our educational system, because him and his brother are so smart. His brother is like a 98% average off the, you know, his pre-med. He's doing his thing. And Micah is a genius as well, but in a different way. And so he would bring a report card home and it would have a 50 and a 95. And his father and I would look at him and go, "Micah, like, you're so smart, just apply yourself." And we put a pressure on him that I think was too much, you know, because he excelled at certain things. Amazing art. He would sit there and sculpt something for hours and I'd be like, "That's beautiful." And then he'd smush it. You know, because like, to me, I always saw him doing like art psychology with children or something like that. And I could see him heading down that path because he's very much, his mind thinks a lot about the educational system and the way that kids learn, and they're, you know, put into this box and they're told to learn the same way. And it's not as focused as it could be. And there are other countries we can just look at and model ourselves after, but we don't do that for whatever reason. So I don't know, maybe people like my son will step up and help out in that area. I hope my book gets into the schools, because it is a young adult fantasy novel. And I've been amazed at the adults' reaction to it, because a lot of my friends have bought it, or adults who listen to me on the radio. And I had one woman who wrote to me and she just said, like, I had an enlightening educational moment. She thought that I had grammatical errors in it because one of my characters, Alex, uses the pronouns they and them. And then her husband read it and explained to her that no, Alex is a non-binary, you know, genderqueer character. And so she was like, cool. Like, she had that learning moment. I was like, that's amazing. That's exactly what I want.
That is amazing. Yeah. And to learn about it in that way, like in a completely non-judgmental way, you're not reading some angry tweet from somebody. And I don't mean to say that we shouldn't be angry, because there's a fucking lot to be angry about. But, you know, when you take it in sort of a more neutral way, in a way that's just like naturally woven into the fabric of the media that you're consuming, mm-hmm. it is just that much easier to flip a switch and go, oh, yeah, that must have felt really good. Like, all right.
I've had a lot of, like, as a woman, I feel like the environment that I grew up in was very much like so evangelistic. You know, my father was the head of the household. My job as a woman was to grow up and marry a man, and, you know, he would provide for me, and I was to, like, oh my God, it's hard to even say it out loud.
You know? Right. I'm cringing as you're like, saying this.
When, and my parents, this is still their relationship, right? It's very difficult for me to watch. So my characters in my book, there are a lot of strong female characters in my book. And also, like Seneca's mom, the main character, she has two moms, her moms, and then her love interest is the non-binary character, Alex. But there's nothing pointing that out. There's no story revolving around the fact that they're, you know, LGBTQ characters. They're just people, and it's accepted, and there's no storyline around it whatsoever. And as a queer woman, that is what I've always wanted in my life. And I consider myself to be gender fluid. As a child, like, I would tell my parents, they'd say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'd say, a boy, you know? I was horrified at the thought of wearing a dress to my grade 8 graduation. And so I, you know, I put these Doc Martens on. My mom had this flowery baby doll dress she wanted me to wear. And I remember putting on this old purple dress I had that was buttoned right down the front, you know, full sleeves. I was like, just like, no, you know?
No.
So I definitely like went back and forth in that. And now, you know, in my zone, feeling, you know, kind of in between, a little on the more on the feminine side these days, but like it really can go day to day. And I wanted people to like understand that and make it easier for the next generation of people, so they don't have to deal with those kinds of things, you know?
Yeah, I love it. I love consuming media. Oh, that sounds so fucking weird to say. I love when things are, the settings are normalized. It's, you know, stuff just is as it is. It's not a problem. We don't have to talk about it or have some kind of expository or, you know, like some kind of explanation about what's happening. We just get it. We're into the story and we see how things work. And it's like an example. I love that so much. On that, we're going to just take a quick break and we will be back in a minute. You want to be authentic. You want to be confident. You want to be engaging. You want to be strong. And you want to be visible. Welcome to Dynamic Presence. Dynamic Presence is a 3-month one-to-one coaching experience that allows you to learn, grow, and embrace the kind of presence you never thought possible in 6 1-hour long sessions. We work on goal and intention setting. You'll have shadow work tailored to your specific needs and speaking and visibility training and coaching. I also give you accountability and action management while cheering you on the whole time. Are you ready to improve your speaking and leadership skills and to become more authentic? Head over to ubuskills.com and click the Work With Me page to learn more about how Dynamic Presence can change your life. All right. And we are back. So, you know, before we took a break, we were talking about how you have characters sort of within the LGBTQ+ community, and it's just sort of the way it is. It's not an opportunity to, you know, teach people. It just is like normal people doing normal stuff that aren't usually sort of the front and center in stories. And it reminded me of a comedy clip that I saw of you. It must have been on Instagram or whatever. And how important is it for you to, this is going to sound like a bit of a dumb question, so, you know, whatever, but how important is it for you to like fully be yourself when you're on the stage?
That's a great question. It's not that important to me. As a comedian, and I've thought a lot about this, my job is to make the crowd laugh, whatever that crowd is. And I've met a lot of comedians who feel more like it's like their message.
Right.
And I don't feel that way.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely have messages to my jokes, but if I go out there, let's say if I go out and I say something kind of dirty and the crowd's not feeling it, I'm naturally going to shift to cleaner jokes, or I'm going to tell a joke but clean up the language within it. Right.
Right. So you're testing out. Right.
Yeah. Right. And some people will go out and look at an audience and try to judge them by who is sitting in the crowd. And I don't do that either, because I've gone out and thought, oh, there's an older crowd here tonight. They're not going to like some of that edgy stuff I do. And so I start off soft, and it's kind of, and then I say something a bit edgy, and then they get into it, and I go, what am I doing? These people grew up on like back when comedians could say whatever they wanted. And if you didn't like it, you had to leave the club, not them.
Yeah.
You
know, right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've told some jokes that I would never tell again. And, you know, it's just like a progression in my comedy, but also who I am as a human being. Mm-hmm. It's like, in this day and age, it's so like, you got to have an opinion. You better pick a side. And I'm telling you, I live in the gray area. I'm always thinking about the both of those sides, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like with my parents, you know, a lot of people are like, they don't agree with what they call your lifestyle. I'm gonna throw that in the old air quotes.
Yeah, can we get rid of that? Holy shit. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? I've sat down and really tried to think about it from their perspective. As Christians, the way that they have interpreted their religion, they think that I'm a sinner. So in their minds, they are concerned for me on a level of they think that I'm going to hell. Now, you or I, that to you or I, that's like, what? Stop it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That not me, actually. I'm very religious.
You're going in a handbasket, girl.
I'm gone.
But that is their interpretation. Right. And so what I do is I try to go to where they are, see it from their perspective, and then work from there. Have I got there yet? No. You don't always succeed at those things, but like, is my door open to them, and have I told them that? Absolutely. Yes.
Which is actually the way that Jesus would have done it.
Isn't that strange?
Isn't it? Have you ever made a joke about putting the Angela in Evangelica? Evangelical?
No.
Does it fit? Evangelical. I love it.
But I might add that to a joke I have about Bible camp. Thank you.
That sounds perfect. And speaking of names, yes. You know, I used to know you as Ange, and now I've noticed that, and that was when you were on the radio, and now I've noticed that you're going by Angela. And I wonder if you wanted to, you know, to talk about that.
For sure. Well, first of all, growing up, I always knew Angela Stever was going to be a star, you know?
Yeah, I think everyone did. Angela Stever. What a name.
What a name. My dad wanted to name me Star, actually, and my mom wanted to name me Victoria Grace, but they missed church because I was born on a Sunday, and they agreed on the name Angela Dawn, which was Heavenly Messenger at the break of day, which when I did morning radio, I thought, how appropriate. I'm like, the messenger that makes
sense. Seriously. Yeah. You know,
very appropriate. Mm-hmm. But when I switched, I did news for about the first 10 years of my career. And then I switched over into more personality based radio. And during that transition, they said, you know, you do the news and you're Angela Stever. This, you know, I'm Angela Stever. But when you're on
which
show,
I can't picture.
In.
Sorry, that doesn't sound. That doesn't sound like anything I know about you. To be some kind of stiff.
6 degrees in downtown Kingston. I'm Angela Stever.
Okay, I have to take. I have to segue here. I love it. When we were first in lockdown, Ben had to do like the show from the living room, right? Yeah. And that's how we woke up in the mornings. Was listening to you. And it's minus 22 degrees outside, or it's going to be minus 22 today, right now, 7.
You're like, what is going on right now? I used to answer the phone and my kids would say, Mom, why are you talking in your radio voice on the phone? Oh, do I do that? Do I immediately go into that mode? Okay.
Am I doing that, children? How old are you now? 7. Okay, sorry. That was a ridiculous segue. Okay, so you were doing the news and you were known as Angela Stever and that felt stiff.
Yeah. Yeah, so they said, you know, and the show eventually went to I wasn't the third as the news person. I was the co-host and news person, and so it became, you know, many evolutions. Matt and Ange for 5 years, and then it was and Jesse and Ange, Derek and Ange, Rudy and Ange, Brian, Ange and Brian. Eventually, my name came first, and then Ange and Derek, and eventually just Ange. So there were many evolutions of the morning show on 96.3 for sure. And I was known by Ange through all of them. Yeah, but I felt like as I went back, you know, when I had my novel and I saw the cover and the original design said Ange Stever. And I looked at it and I was like, that's not right. Like, I just feel like Angela Stever is my name and my author name. And that's, you know, that's it. So that's what I'm going by these days.
I love it. And it's also like opening the door to a next chapter because you did leave radio, you know, after a really long time. It you know.
Why do you keep saying it like that?
Because 20 years is a long time.
You know, it's funny. I have a gal that I hired to do some work for me, my assistant, and she was filling out a form and I gave her my birthday and she said, what year? And I said, 1980. And she looked at me and went, 1980? Like it was just horrifying to her. I said, don't you say it like that. What are you talking about? Still young. I still feel young.
Maybe she was surprised because... Oh, yeah. You seem so young.
She's born in 1998.
Yeah. I don't even, yeah. I have students because I'm teaching at the college. They're born like after 2000.
Yeah.
It's wild. That's just like, what?
I know.
I was working in a bar. Yes,
so was I.
many of them. Exactly. Mm. And, you know, as we close out today, I just want to talk about like, I love following you on Instagram and I'll make sure to put all of Angela's websites and socials in the show notes so you can follow along too. But one of the breeziest feelings I've had in a while was watching you go down to California, hopping on a skateboard, going through, what's that part of town called again? Something
I was
beach.
In Venice Beach.
Venice Beach.
Just along the boardwalk. Yeah.
Just fucking skateboarding along Venice Beach.
Yes.
Left your job, wrote a book, you know, like basically life transformed over the last year. Just breezing along Venice Beach. Here I am, guys. I don't know what you're doing, but here I am in Venice Beach. Just shooting along on my skateboard. And I love, and then I like, then you went to Vegas and, you know, just doing all these things that felt to me like saying, fuck it, let's go for it. And I don't know if that's what you were saying, but it made me think, let's just
I
go
have to
and
tell you,
live our
that's
life.
Exactly. It. Yeah. Fuck it. Go for it. I'm glad you said fuck it. Cause I wrote fuck on Facebook the other day, I think for the first time in a long time. And it's like, after you leave corporate radio, shed a little layer every day of a piece of you that always had that in the back of your mind that you're representing a company. What am I saying? What am I doing? What am I wearing? How am I presenting myself? And so I feel like for the first time in my life, I'm just being me and I'm taking care of me for the first time in my life. I had my oldest, Micah, when I was 16 years old. So when I think about it, I've never really been like free to just do me and whatever it is that I wanted to do. I had to kind of do things like a little bit backwards. But I've thought like, I used to think all the time, what does it take to be happy? Because I feel like really my role in life is to make other people happy, to feel joy that I was born with an inner joy, and I'm so thankful for that. And I come across so many people who don't know what their passions are, and for whatever reason, they're thrown in my path a lot. And I struggle to like understand that concept because it's just like I have friends who've been given everything and they're like, I don't feel like enough. And I'm like, always felt like enough. And I feel like I've struggled to like have other people accept that fact, right? And so I have this inner joy that I've wanted to share with people. I used to study and read books on how to be happy, watch documentaries. One of the closest things I feel like I've seen from something that kind of I think about a lot is what it takes to be happy and the things that we focus on. And this documentary, I think it was called Happy, was talking about how in society, most people will focus on money or image or social status. And they think that, you know, getting a handle on those things is what's really going to make them happy. When in reality, focusing on yourself and your family and loved ones and community and eventually branching out to the world is what's really going to make you put a smile on your face and make you feel good, right? And we don't have to be happy all the time. There's a range of emotions that we should feel and allow ourselves to feel like we're only supposed to feel the positive ones. No, if you live in this
No.
world and you're not angry right now, there's something wrong with you. Like you should be angry right now, right? But you also
Yes.
have to find, like, we've got to find the joy in that stuff, right? And I feel like I did things backwards a little bit in my life because I had a kid young. I went to Honduras when I was 15 and I kind of like saw what you can do and go out and help the world. And then I came back and I thought, okay, I want to do this in my community. And I did, you know, take on a lot of causes throughout my last couple decades in radio and beyond. And one of those causes was, sorry, I'm rambling here, but one of those causes was domestic violence in Prince Edward County. It was Alternatives for Women. And I sat on the board for 2 years. And one of the things I learned from that was that victim to survivor to thriver cycle. And in my life, I had felt like a victim so many times. And in my mind, when I thought about my life moments, I would go back to those terrible things or those things that like people
Right,
would judge me for. Like
right.
I was a teen mom, I got divorced, I was obese. I was, you know, never the highlights were not like, girl, you went and got your, you know, college degree, diploma, you free started, you know, you did raised a kid at 16, you did, you know,
Yeah.
it was never that. The highlights were always bad. So I was like, I've got to change that way of thinking, you know, because it starts with your thoughts, your words, your actions, that becomes your reality, right? And you've got to keep it positive throughout those things, or the outcome's not going to be maybe what you expect, you know. But I was going through this cycle of like backwards. So seeing what you could do in helping the world, helping the community, and now I'm able to like focus on myself. But man, if you can do that in reverse, get your shit together and then help your community and then branch out and help the world, like you've got it figured out.
Got it figured out. I love that. That is such a high note to finish up with. I love that idea, and I love you for sharing that with us. And that's exactly what I thought when I watched that video of you on the skateboard. I'm like, this kick-ass woman who's done so much, like, 'cause single moms to me are like there's no one stronger. Like it's just not even
Well,
it,
you
you know?
know, I will say I had a tremendous amount of help along the way. My ex-husband has been an incredible dad, is an incredible dad. And my ex-partner, Andrian, as well, part of the kids' lives for 6 years. And we're still friends, even though we split this year. And she's been, you know, an important part of the life. And we still have dinner together and things like that, because
That's
I think that's
nice.
why my kids are so well adjusted, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that sounds very mature. I don't know that I would be able to manage that.
You could.
I'll use you as an example. I'm never going to have to. We're fine. Everything, we're good in our department.
Ben, we're fine.
Yeah. Everything's okay. Angela, where can people get your book?
Wow. Everywhere. The best place to go to find it all in one spot would be my website, angelasteever.com. There's a link on there that has, you know, because it's on Amazon, Indigo, Barnes & Noble, all that stuff online. Three local bookstores, area bookstores have it. Novel Idea here in Kingston, Books on Main in Bath, and Books & Company in Prince Edward County, my hometown as well. I'm looking to get it out into some more of those. And eventually, COVID has kind of held things off with the getting it in stores at Indigo, but that's the next step. So it is available. If you know me, you can also get at me because I have a bunch of copies myself, and I'm happy to sell you one of those. Yeah.
I love it. thank you so much for joining me today and having this conversation. And thank you for being a good example of living your good life.
Thank you, Megan. And thank you to anyone who made it to the end of this podcast, because we live in a world where attention spans are so short that, you know, congratulations. That's it.
Well done. Well done. Give yourself a pat on the back. You made it to 37 minutes or whatever we're going to be. thanks so much, Angela.
It's been a pleasure. Pleasure's been mine.
I'm telling you now that I have dreams of going to LA and skateboarding just like Angela did, because when I saw it, I was like, this is a freedom that I really want. And I think part of that is pandemic related, and part of that is just look at this person living their life. They've written a book, which is also on my bucket list, and just going for it. And you know how I'm all over that. If you want to find out about Angela, make sure you go to the show notes. Grab yourself a copy of Conquering the Divide. It's amazing. You can get an audiobook too. And, you know, support your local authors. You can check her out at live comedy clubs across Canada whenever things open up. And as for me, Megan Hamilton, I think we're going to take a little break on UBU Pod for a while. It has nothing to do with how much I love doing this, because I truly do love doing this. It is simply a matter of time. I've been so busy and, you know, staying up late trying to finish these podcast episodes, and I think I just need to reprioritize. So it might be a little while until we have a next one, but I am sure this is not goodbye. Talk to you soon.